Welcome to Intuitive Transformations with your host, Sylvia Henderson, and discover tools, wisdom, and inspiration that will empower you to transform your life. Sylvia is an intuitive life coach and energy healer with a growing practice that is focused on empowering others to be more of who they want to be. For the next hour, join Sylvia and explore and unravel anything in the way of you creating the life that you would love to live on the Om Times Radio Network.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Intuitive Transformations radio show, where you will find tools that you can use to change and transform your life every Thursday afternoon at 2 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Om Times Radio Network, the voice of consciousness at omtimes.com. This is Sylvia Henderson, your host, and if you would like to learn more about me and the work that I do, then please visit my website at intuitivetransformations.net. And if you sign up to join my email group, you will download a free 20-minute healing audio that will allow you to release fear, worry, and anxiety during times of uncertainty. And boy, oh boy, we are definitely living in a season of uncertainty right now on the planet. Some of this uncertainty that people are feeling, or rather fearing, I should say, is due to the shift of vibrational energy that surrounds us. Wow, I can't even talk. It's just such a weird day. The astrology is kind of different. We've got an eclipse that's coming up tomorrow, and lots of purging, emotional purging that's been going on, and my mouth isn't quite working the way it normally does. So while we're witnessing a lot of changes in our global society, we're also actually feeling these energetic shifts that have been created by astrological influences, as well as the energy and vibration that is shifting actually on the planet. For instance, there are variations of energetic wave patterns that spike and dip within the magnetic field of the planet that is something that they call the Schumann resonances. These are spiking vibrational wave patterns within Earth's magnetic field that were first predicted mathematically in 1952 by a German physicist. And scientists since in the early 60s developed a means to actually measure these spiking wave patterns of energy. And initially when they measured them, they were measured at a frequency of 7 to 8 hertz. And in 2014, about 50 years after that, when they first did that measurement, the frequency had increased, and it had increased significantly from 7 to 8 hertz, which it had pretty much held on to for quite a while, to somewhere between 15 and 25, which is a significant increase in over those 50 years. Well, we've had another big spike. It's really interesting because in 2014, it was between 15 and 25 hertz. Well, on January 31st of this year, just this year, last month, a few weeks ago, they measured it again, or they measure it consistently, but someone reported the measurement because it was a big leap. It had moved from 25 being the high spike to 36 in like 3 years' time, which is significant increase when you look at how it would gradually move over time in the past. So what does this all mean? Well, everything is energy, right? And we're all connected energetically to everything as well as to each other. So with the vibration and frequency of the electromagnetic field of the planet increasing, it affects our own electromagnetic field, because we all have an electromagnetic field as individuals in human bodies. That's why doctors use EKGs and EEGs. They're measuring the electromagnetic field of our body, and science is able to deduce from that the status of our health. So with all of these vibrational and energetic shifts, it's unsettling. it's really been unsettling, and it's causing us to feel a little scattered. That's how I've been feeling today, a little scattered, just trying to negotiate the shifts of energy and the vibration and how quickly that they're moving on the planet in our electromagnetic field. So if you're feeling more fearful, having higher anxiety, and even more anger, it's more than what you're seeing out there that's playing out in the world on the political terrain. It's actually there's shifts going on too, energetically within all of us. So I just want to encourage everyone, if you're feeling a little out of sorts, you know, use the power of your breath to slow down those physical sensations, and also to quiet the mind. Slowing down your breath is a free stress reducer that's highly accessible. We always have it available. And if that doesn't really help to settle things down for you, then take the time to listen to the meditation that I'm providing for free from my website, or your favorite and most soothing music. Reach for that. Look for things that are going to nurture you, like taking a walk in nature. And if the weather is permitting, then take off your shoes and just really feel the ground beneath your feet, because the soles of our shoes are rubberized, and so that cuts off our connection to a certain degree with the vibration of the planet. And so if you can touch the earth, if it's too cold to take off your shoes, or hug a tree, then do that and allow Mother Nature to do what it's here to do, which is to nurture us, to support our soul. It actually feeds us with grounding, stabilizing energy, which is really what we need right now, because it's going to be a bumpy ride for a while. We're all riding the roller coaster together, and with this changing energy. So I cannot stress to you enough how important it is for you to really take care of you during this time. You know, rest if you need to, eat healthy food, drink clean water, don't take on more than you can manage. Really be mindful of what makes you feel good. That's going to be really important, because from what I'm getting through my guidance, the increase in vibration and shifting is going to continue to happen. Things are speeding up. We're moving faster through time. So we're really in an interesting place right now. But it's all good. Just stay focused on taking care of yourself. That's key and very important. So today joining us is Helene Segura, and she was on the show last year when her book launched, The Inefficiency Assassin, Time Management Tactics for Working Smarter, Not Longer. And she's back with us today to talk about how to successfully achieve our New Year's resolutions and any of the other goals that we have not yet successfully fulfilled. So Helene is a sought-after productivity coach who has spoken to thousands of go-getters. She teaches them to manage stress by regaining control of their chaotic work and personal lives. She is the president of the International Board of Certification for Professional Organizers and is a member of the National Speakers Association. Helene combines neuroscience, educational psychology, and pop culture to teach and coach hundreds of her individual clients, as well as audiences, on how to improve their efficiency during their workday so that they can have a life outside of work. I think that is highly commendable. There's too many people not having a life outside of work. And Helene has also been featured as an organizational expert in more than 100 media appearances. So Helene Segura, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you back.
Thank you, Sylvia, and I enjoyed everything that you were talking about just right now, even though what you said may be a little scary to people. All the advice that you gave goes hand in hand with managing your time.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad we're on the same page. There are never any accidents in the universe. Everything is always working in divine order. Yeah. So you've been on the show before, but for those of you who are listening who may have missed that show, would you mind just sharing with them what was it that got you first interested in time management and building productivity skills and then also helping others to be able to manage their time more efficiently?
Well, during high school, I was rather efficient with my time and balancing all of the different activities with the clubs and sports and homework and keeping up grades. But something went out the window when I went to college, and I really struggled with time management to the point where my grades basically went down the toilet, and I was kicked out of the dorms and almost lost my on-campus job. And that forced me to work on my time management in a hurry. So I was able to graduate, get my diploma, and then moving into my first adult job in teaching, I realized that I was up against a wall again with time management challenges. Oh my goodness, how can I be this wonderful teacher to all these children and still have a life outside of the classroom? Because I felt like I was dog paddling constantly. And that's when I put into motion all of the ideas that I was learning in grad school from neuroscience and educational psychology, and I discovered I am working against my brain. I am making it harder for myself. So I developed this time management framework, which I then shared with my students to help them with time management. My colleagues found out about it, so I began sharing with them, and this snowballed into me starting my own business in 2006, so I can bring all these consultations and coaching help to people worldwide and not just in one particular location.
Wow, I love that, because that's a perfect example of how we begin to teach our own lesson, our greatest challenge, right?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So we'll be back in just a few minutes after the break. Please stay tuned for more of Intuitive Transformations with Helene Segura as my guest.
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Miriam Knight of New Consciousness Review, inviting you to my new show where I interview the rising stars of the conscious awakening. We'll explore the many faces of consciousness in action and intriguing perspectives on life, the universe, and everything in between. Join us each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Rising Stars Show.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I was sensitive to lights and sounds, so I built secret hiding places where they couldn't get in. Sometimes, I did the same things over and over, until one day, I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Sylvia Henderson with the Intuitive Transformations radio show on ohmtimes.com, and I'm here with my special guest, Helene Segura, and she is the Inefficiency Assassin, and she's written a book by the same name. And she's, before we went to the break, she was just sharing about how she got interested in teaching time management and productivity skills and how it was something that just was a natural progression that she learned because of her own need to actually begin to create a system that would work for her so she was no longer working against her brain. I like how you said you discovered you were working against your brain because it's really not about one shoe fits all sizes. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. There are some basic principles that everybody should understand, but then it's important to take it from there and then apply it to what your brain type is, your personality, your work style. And so that's why there's not this step-by-step guide of these are the 10 steps that you need to take at all times in order to be better with your time, and every single person needs to do it that way. No, we all do things differently.
Yeah, exactly. And that's so important because we're all unique individuals. So it's not January, but we're still at the beginning of the new year. And historically, this is the time of year that people do begin to start thinking, well, what do I want to do differently this year? What do I want to achieve this year? Finally get done. Maybe it's weight loss. Maybe it's breaking an addiction. Maybe it's creating a new business. You know, yet the studies show that even though historically people choose the beginning of the year to set these intentions and these new goals for what they want to accomplish by the end of the year, the studies show that 92% of the people that make a New Year's resolution on January 1st actually lose the energy and motivation to complete it by the end of the month. Now, why is that?
There are a variety of factors. One of the major factors is that folks choose too many things to change, and those things that they are choosing to change are also big life changes. For instance, trying to lose weight and quit smoking, those are huge life changes, and each one of them takes a great amount of focus and a great amount of energy. So if you're splitting that focus and energy among too many things, then you're not going to be successful with all of them. Another reason why people tend to not succeed with their New Year's resolutions or actually any goal that they might set throughout the year is because while they've allowed that goal to enter their mind, they don't do the planning that it takes to be successful with the goal. A lot of people just want to jump into action, and when it doesn't work right away, then they just throw in the towel. So skipping that important planning piece can be detrimental to trying to achieve those goals. So those are the two main reasons why so many folks don't do well with their resolutions.
So it's interesting that you said the planning piece is really important, because there are some people that as soon as you say planning, their energy just contracts. They don't want to do it. It seems too much like, oh no, I'm back at school again, and something I have to do. And so how can we make that lighter for people?
Well, I encourage my clients to choose a word that they're comfortable with. And since, like we said earlier, everybody's different, there's going to be a different word for each person. So when I'm sitting there with a client and I start to mention the word planning and I see their eyes roll into the back of their head, I said, okay, I am sensing that you don't like the word, so let's talk about that and let's find a term that you like. And what I explain to them is that no matter what you call this piece, this is the part where you gather your resources, you create some timelines, you get things aligned for you, so that way you don't feel like it's a constant scramble. And I'll give you an example. A number of folks who want to start off the new year losing weight, they'll sign up for a gym membership. And so they won't think about good times for them to go to the gym. They just know, oh, I need to get over there whenever I can. And then they show up at random, and they get frustrated when there are really long lines. They don't have a backup plan for what happens if there are really long lines. And so after 2 days of trying to wait in lines, they just give up. So that's where the planning piece comes in, or whatever term you want to call it, where you are thinking about what are the best times for me to do something if I haven't been doing that before. And what resources do I need? What support do I need? So when you start thinking of those things ahead of time, you will have a plan B and a plan C when things don't go according to your original plan.
I love that. So really, this, when you say planning, it's about outlining the practical action steps from point A to point B.
Exactly. That is what is happening. And also just allowing your brain to think of all these different ways to get things accomplished, because maybe you heard your friend say, well, these are all the steps that I took in order to be successful with my weight loss or saving money or whatever the resolution was. That worked for your friend. It may not work exactly for you. So during this time, this is where you allow all these ideas to pop into your head so you can capture them and you have more to choose from.
That's great. So, and the other problem that you mentioned, which I think that makes perfect sense, biting off more than you can chew, basically having too many things to change that you, that you've decided, okay, December 31st, starting on January 1st, I am going to execute 15 things by the end of the year, or sometimes two things, if they're really big things, might be too much, and set you up for failure. And so how do people know how to judge and perceive what is actually doable for them so that they're not making too many, setting too many goals in terms of what they want to accomplish by the end of the year?
That's where that planning piece comes in, because part of the planning is taking a look at how much time do I need to devote to this in order to make my goal come to fruition and make this change or create this new habit. Is this something that's going to take me 15 minutes a day, or am I going to invest more time each day in order to make this change? So when you start looking at what you need to do to make this change, and then you also include everything else that you have going on in your life, your work, and your personal relationships, anything else that you're involved in, this is where you start to see how much time you have for all of these changes. And so that will help you figure out, okay, I have time to do this one big change, and that needs to be my focus for the next month. And then when I have another project roll off my plate, then I'll be able to take on more at that time. But until then, this needs to be my primary focus.
Love that. I love that. So you can still kind of like have a bullet point and then pick and choose which of those areas you really want to put your energy into so that you're not exhausted and overwhelmed.
Right, exactly. I think a lot of the problem comes in when we have all these different ideas thrown at us and we hear what our friends are doing or what our colleagues are doing, and so we tend to jump on whatever's been thrown into our lap instead of taking a step back and deciding what are our priorities. So just like you mentioned earlier in your opening, how we need to slow down and, you know, take advantage of our breath and quiet the mind, this is the time where we decide we need to create clarity on what our priorities are, so that way we just don't jump on whatever's been put in front of us. We stay focused on what we need to accomplish.
Right. So what are some other ways that we can create clarity when it comes to just even deciding what is it that you know what you want to change in your life, but is it by priority? What's most, how can we create more clarity around choosing what we're going to focus on? And then also, and I know the planning is going to be a big part of that, but so that we are coming from a very mindful place versus a comparison place of what someone else is doing.
Right. The first thing you want to do is just decide what are your overall priorities in life. Who's important to you? What activities are important to you? So for most of the folks I work with, their top priorities are my spouse, my family, my church, my parents, my kids. So it's those important people, those important components in their life. And they tend to leave themselves off the list. So self-care is extremely important. They need to have themselves on there as well. So once you've established those priorities and you post them somewhere, because it's important to view them every day, a lot of times they stay in our subconscious, and all the decisions that we make about how we use our time should be based on whether or not they support those priorities. And so once you have these priorities ingrained and you're looking at them every day, this is how you can choose what changes you want to make, because you take a look at, are there any obstacles in my way of supporting these priorities in my life, these people or these activities? And those obstacles are what you want to take a look at changing. So that's how you develop your priorities of what to change.
I love that. Once you dissolve those obstacles, things will just pretty much fall into place, won't they?
Exactly. And it's not like life is going to be perfect every single day, but the more obstacles you remove, then the more chaos you remove from your life. And when things don't go your way, it's a lot easier to recover when there's not as much chaos around you.
Gotcha. So this is all part of a three-part framework that you talk about in detail in your book, The Inefficiency Assassin. So can you go a little bit deeper into the other components of that framework?
Sure. We just spoke about creating clarity, which is the first part. The second part is I for implement, structure, and flow. Now, a lot of people are very afraid of structure and routine, but what we find is that when you don't have some kind of structure or routine for a part of your day, then you tend to just float around and not accomplish as much as you'd like. So it's important to build in that structure, but at the same time be able to go with the flow, because we all know that if you deal with other humans and or if you deal with technology, something is usually not going to go your way during the day, so you have to be able to adapt and modify as necessary. And then the A, which is the third part of the CIA framework, the A is for assemble your team. It's really hard to be successful with anything in life if you're trying to do everything on your own. So that's why it's important to surround yourself with good people, to pay attention to your family members and support them as well, and surround yourselves with friends and colleagues who are truly going to support you. And you even mentioned earlier, Mother Nature is on your team. You need to use Mother Nature for support. So we're talking about bringing in anything and anyone who is going to be able to support you and what you want to accomplish.
And that is so important when you want to create change and really using discernment in who you're choosing on that team, because, you know, it's sometimes it can be a little difficult when it's someone who's been in your life for a very long time and you're facing a challenge that has also been in your life for a very long time, and you've tried and failed and tried and failed and tried and failed. So choosing someone who's truly going to support you versus someone who's going to look at you out of the side of their eye as if, okay, sure, let's see if it really happens, is huge.
Right, exactly. And sometimes our family members, our loved ones, don't even intentionally sabotage us. It's just purely subconscious and unintentional. And so that's why communication with the team is so important.
I agree. Well, we'll be back in just a few minutes with more of Helene Segura and her wonderful secrets on how you can actually fulfill your New Year's resolutions and achieve your goals. We'll be back in a moment.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM. As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Hey, let me ask you something. Would you seat your three-year-old child on a windowsill? Would you seat them beside a lit fireplace or by the deep end of a pool? One last question. Would you seat your child in a car seat that's not correct for them? Car crashes are a leading killer of children ages 1 to 13. Secure their future. Seat them in the correct car seat. For more information, visit safercar.gov/the right seat. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. This is Sylvia Henderson on the Intuitive Transformations Radio Show, and I have with me today Helene Segura, and we are talking about how to be successful with your New Year's resolutions and really just how to be successful in achieving the goals and actually the desires of your heart, really, because that's what a goal is. It's something you desire, something you long to achieve. a new reality you want to create. And what Helene's done in her book is she's provided some wonderful guidelines and tools on how to do that through being more aware of your time and how you manage it, and some really solid productivity skills in there and tools as well. And so, Helene, I wanted to talk to you a little bit more about the three steps, the clarity, the implement, the structure and flow, and assembling your team. Say you have all this in place, but then you also have other aspects within you. Like there's, you have the archetype of the perfectionist, and this is someone who has to do it exactly right, or they toss it. It's not good enough anymore to even continue on, or the obstacles become a sign of it causes them to give up because it's not flowing exactly the way they wanted it to flow. How do you help someone like that?
The first thing we do is have them acknowledge that they even have these tendencies, because a lot of times when I'm sitting down with somebody who, just based on everything they're telling me, my first thought is, wow, you're a perfectionist, so we need to help you with that. They haven't used that term yet. So we have to first have them acknowledge, these are the tendencies that I have, and if you want to call it perfectionism, fine, you can call it anything else, but this is what's happening. And then the next step is to start paying attention to when these tendencies are going to set in. So what does it feel like when you are about to stop yourself from even doing something because you're afraid that it's not going to be perfect? Or what does it feel like when you are about to spend another 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes on something because you are trying to get it exactly perfect? And so once they start paying attention to what that feels like and they realize they're doing these things, then they're able to move into the next phase, which is stopping yourself when these actions occur. And you stop yourself by asking, how is doing this going to benefit me? Because it's not going to benefit you, and that will help you put the brakes on those kinds of actions. And it does take a lot of willpower. So in the beginning, your brain is probably going to work against you and say, oh, I'm just going to ignore what you're trying to do. But eventually, you start building up the courage to stand up to what your brain has been doing you, to you all this time, and refocusing your brain on, this is what's going to be better for me. I need to stop these perfectionist habits, because it drags us down when we try to be perfect. We just don't get anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so, so true. So one of the other things that can put us into a dead halt is procrastination. Mm-hmm. So how do you help someone, say they've mustered up the energy to actually take care of the clarity and everything else and the planning and then actually implementing, they're procrastinating. What stops people from just taking the action, especially after they've gone as far as they have?
What we try to do with procrastination is pinpoint, why is it that you're trying to stall? Why is it that you are trying to avoid something? Is that something, a decision that you are afraid of making? Is that something, a task that you don't like to do? Or maybe you don't know how to do it, but you had agreed to it and promised somebody else. So we try to pinpoint why that procrastination is happening, because once we do, then we can come up with a solution for it. So for instance, if you're procrastinating because you don't like doing something, then we develop mind games to get your mind out of that position of, oh, I don't like this. So we can reframe that task and say, you know what, it's not so bad after all. It's only going to take me 3 minutes, and I've spent 10 minutes complaining about it already. It could have been done. Or if you don't like doing something, maybe that's the first thing you need to do in the morning, so that way you can just get it over with, and then the rest of your day is better. Or we set a timer and we turn it into a race. So your solution is going to depend on what the cause is, and that's why you want to figure out, why is it that you're trying to delay something?
You know, it's interesting that you're talking about breaking things down into increments of time, like take 10 minutes. You can even use a timer. It jogged my memory back to when I was in my 20s and I had a roommate, and we were messy girls, you know, because we were all about being messy girls. We were in our 20s, we were young. And so, you know, to clean the house, we would walk in and it would just like overwhelm us because it was in such disarray that I found that if I said, okay, I'm going to spend 15 minutes on the junk drawer and that's all I'm going to spend. And, but what would happen is I would end up doing the whole drawer because I didn't feel like it was, I felt successful by exceeding the time I had set for myself. Now that I look back on it, I didn't realize that what was going on. If I said I'm going to clean the junk drawer and I knew it was going to take an hour and a half, I would just go, no, I'm not going to do it and procrastinate. But if I said 10, 15 minutes, you know, I could do that. And sure enough, I would do the whole thing, you know. And so it's just really interesting how the mind, you know, you do have to play some games with the mind sometimes to get things done.
Right. And a lot of times we set these really high expectations for ourselves, and many times they're unrealistic. And when we don't meet these expectations, oh my goodness, that just totally demoralizes us, and we don't have the motivation that we need to move forward. So if you set the bar a little more realistically, and I know perfectionists don't want to hear about setting the bar a little lower, but when we set it a little lower for ourselves and then exceed, that's going to propel us forward. So to give you an example, using your junk drawer, you were able to set a lower expectation. You said, I'm just going to set this timer for 15 minutes. And to you, because it's a lower expectation, and then you met it, that gives you the motivation to keep going. You realize, oh, this isn't so bad after all. I can keep plowing ahead. As opposed to saying, I'm going to spend an hour and a half on this junk drawer. And for most people, that's a completely unrealistic expectation because they don't like the task in the first place. And then, you know, they want to stop after 10 or 15 minutes because it's no fun. So it's really important to set those lower realistic expectations, meet those, and then you can take the next step of those lower realistic expectations. And that's what's going to keep you moving forward.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it played out in my own reality, so I can definitely vouch for that. So we do live in a world of continual distractions, especially now with technology being what it is. And now we can go on Facebook and find out, you know, say you're on this path, I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to be really conscious about what I put in my body now. I want only healthy life food. And, you know, how do these productivity skills and time management help you when a friend invites you over for a lavish meal that's really decadent, that you know is not within your dietary constraints that you've kind of set for yourself? I mean, when we're looking at New Year's resolutions, those are the type of resolutions people typically set. So what does one do in that particular situation?
Well, you can take the C from CIA, which is create clarity, and you understand what your priorities are. You understand what your goal is. You want to eat healthier and or you want to lose weight, and you understand what it's going to take for you to get there. So that's already ingrained in your mind, and you're viewing that goal every single day. And then for the implement structure and flow, you have an idea of how much room you have in your diet or in your nutrition for the day, how many calories you can have, what kind of nutrients you need, and what you need to avoid. So you have an idea going in how much of this meal you can have. And then for the A, assemble your team. If this is your friend inviting you over, then you should have an open communication with your friend and let her know, I'm absolutely honored that you gave me this invitation, and I want to be there because our relationship is so important. But I need to let you know that this is my goal for the new year, So I don't want you to be offended if I can't eat your entire meal. This is the kind of food that I can and cannot have. I don't expect you to go out of your way and create this entire separate meal just for me. I just wanted to let you know ahead of time that this is what's going on with me, and I would love your support on that. And so if you communicate that ahead of time, you can still go to this function. You can still maintain the relationship, but you're not going to feel pressure from your friend. Hey, why aren't you eating this? Is there something wrong with the food? And then you're guilted into eating something that is not going to support your priority. So all of that comes into play, and that communication is really key with your friend.
Yeah, communication is always so key. I mean, it's so often that we're afraid to speak our truth about what's really going to work for us because we're concerned, oh no, what are they going to think about me? Are they going to think that I'm being rude? Are they going to think that I'm being, you know, whatever our little judgment is that's going on in our critical parent mind. And really, it's just about being open and honest with people. I mean, I think that, you know, if we can just do that, that really resolves a lot of problems in life
in general. It does. And Sylvia, I can tell you, since we're both female, I can get away with saying this, but ladies, we have a really bad habit of fearing being straightforward because by nature, we are nurturers and we want to please everybody. We want to make folks happy. We want everybody around us to be happy and we want to support them. And a lot of times as we attempt to do this, we tend to not achieve what we need to because we put everybody else first. So this is where it's really important to start developing those assertiveness skills in being open with somebody, because being open doesn't mean that you're being rude and saying, hey, your food stinks, I don't want to eat it. No, you're being open in explaining this is what's going on in your life and this is why you're doing these things, and so this is the kind of support that you would need. And if more people communicated that way, there wouldn't be so much guessing and trying to read between the lines, because it's really hard to communicate by ESP if you don't have those ESP skills.
I agree. And there's so much assumption going on about what, thinking that someone does know that because you mentioned one time you were going to do your diet. And they're not thinking that. They're just thinking about their great party that they've been planning and that they enjoy your company. And so, you know, quite often when that invitation comes, sometimes it can be perceived on the person receiving it that, didn't you hear me that I'm on a diet, you know? And really it's about keep that communication open and and trust that your friend is coming from a heart-centered space. They're not trying to sabotage you. It's just probably not in their frame of reference because they're not sharing the same goal that you have.
Right, exactly. They're trying to plan for 25 people.
Exactly. We're going into another break. We'll be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned for more of Intuitive Transformations.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Did you just look down at your phone? You did it again, didn't you? You know, you're flying down the road in a 3-ton hunk of steel, and the text takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds. At 55 miles per hour, that's long enough to travel the length of a football field and cause some serious damage. Turn it off. Trust me. Whatever it is, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Helene Segura, and she has a wonderful book I encourage you to get. It's called The Inefficiency Assassin, Time Management Tactics for Working Smarter, Not Longer. And if you've been listening to the show, you know that she has a special gift and talent and a way of making time management sound really fun, which I didn't think was possible until I met this wonderful woman. And so there's a way to make your life more productive and manage your time very mindfully and have fun with it and actually enjoy it and be successful. And that's what she offers in her book. And Helene, how can people get in contact with you if they want to work with you personally or hire you for a speaking engagement?
First, I would love all of your listeners to have a gift, because I think since I've been talking about resources, I should provide them with some resources. So if they go to my website, theinefficiencyassassin.com, if they scroll down, they can sign up where it says get your complimentary productivity kit. In there, I have time management templates that I use with my clients to help you with your planning, even if you don't want to call it planning. I have a webinar in there on how to avoid procrastination. I have another audio piece in there about how to plan if you're trying to make healthy eating and exercise a part of your calendar. So I have a whole bunch of resources in there for your listeners that they're more than welcome to. And while they're on the website, that's where they can find out information about books, webinars, training, consulting. I've learned over the last 11 years that, as we talked about earlier, everybody's different, and that also means that we learn in different ways. So that's why there are a variety of ways that people can get help. So just go to the website, theinefficiencyassassin.com, and you can get your productivity kit there and any information that you need.
Wow, that's so awesome. Thank you for being so generous with our listeners, Helene. I'm definitely going to pop over there myself and get my complimentary productivity kit, because that's something that is, it's not a natural thing for me, and it's very important with the work that I do that I stay as organized as possible. So I'm definitely going to be picking that up.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I was going to say, definitely, yes, go over there. And I was going to actually add in there just a little quick blurb. For my clients who procrastinate, we talk about procrastinating productively. So if you're going to avoid a task or avoid a decision, don't do something that causes you to lose time. Do something else that's going to move you forward. And so that productivity kit is a great way to procrastinate productively, because you're learning about time management while you're avoiding another task.
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah, you're building your skills by visiting the kit and checking it out. That's awesome. So what about other distractions when it comes to trying to achieve our New Year's resolutions, like, you know, getting organized? You know, I'm thinking about organizing my garage, and I'll be honest, I've been thinking about organizing it for the last 12 months. And so that's an area where I've definitely have procrastinated extensively, and I see it every time I drive my car in and out of the garage. So my New Year's resolution was to organize that my garage, but then there's like, oh, the phone is ringing, or I've got to do this for my son's group home. Or how do you handle distractions when you have your day planned out and then your whole day goes awry because of other things that are pulling for your attention?
Okay, so you clarified something, because you said when you have your day planned out, because my first thought as you were asking the question was, well, you need to make sure that you plan out your day and you have things scheduled into your calendar, even household tasks or organizing projects like clearing out the garage. Now, I would be a little more detailed with your plan for the day. And so instead of just write organizing the garage on there, I would write down that next small step that you want to work on, because a lot of times we allow these distractions to get us off track because we do want to procrastinate on what's there in front of us. And when we see this really broad task like organize the garage, our brain starts to freak out and say, oh my gosh, I have to organize the entire garage today. Whereas if we just write a smaller piece, work on the far left-hand corner of the garage, the box that's sitting right there, it's a far less scary to have to work on one box and see that on the calendar as opposed to seeing organize the entire garage. So as a part of your plan, I would make sure that you're listing the step that you actually need to work on. And then as far as the distractions, that comes into paying attention to the triggers that get you off track. So are you about to allow this distraction because you want to procrastinate on something? Or are you about to allow this distraction because you're going into nurturing mode and you think that you have to take care of this person immediately right in front of you without thinking of your own priorities first? So you want to start being more cognizant of what are the triggers that get you off track, because once you realize what those triggers are, then you can develop the mind games that you need in order to ward off those distractions.
And I love how you said that, ask yourself, am I going to allow the distraction? That allowing should be in quotes, because that's really what we're doing, right? Mm-hmm. It's not the distractions take over us. We're allowing it to be the distraction.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because we choose our reaction to anything that's said to us, anything that's done to us, anything that's put in front of us. And in that moment, when somebody says something to you, when somebody does something to you, then you need to ask yourself, is this truly an emergency that I need to react to right now? Is somebody seriously ill? Is somebody about to die? Is somebody's life in danger? Is this a true emergency? Or is this new information that my brain is receiving right now and my brain is thinking it's important and it's a priority, but is it truly? And so just pausing for a few seconds to let your brain go through these steps of making a decision about how high a priority is it, that's really going to help you decide whether or not you're going to allow this distraction to become a true distraction.
You know, that is so good, because so many of the distractions are also just kind of, we're in the habit of responding when our cell phone text message comes up on the phone, or we're, even in the midst of a big meeting, if the phone lights up and you have it on mute and it's someone calling and they told you to silence your phone, you still pull it out of your purse or out of your pocket. Mm-hmm. Or some people don't even put it there. They have it out on the table. And it's that constant, it's becoming a habit for us in our society to be distracted by our technology.
Yeah, I think we're past the word become. It has developed into a habit, and it's a rather bad one, because this device that's in front of us, this cell phone or this tablet, it's a tool. It is not supposed to be our boss throughout the day. It's a tool that we're supposed to utilize. And I love having a cell phone and tablet because it frees me up from a desk, and I am allowed to complete my work from anywhere. So that is using it as a tool. But when we allow it to become this distractor and we drop everything just because something has popped up on our device, we have now given that tool permission to control what we do. And that's not how it should be. And that's where so much of our time goes, is just being at the beck and call of this little device. And each time we switch tasks, each time we allow this interruption to happen, neuroscience tells us that we lose an average of 60 seconds in brain restart time. So imagine how many times each day you allow this distraction to happen. That's how many minutes of time that you are choosing to allow slip away from your day.
You know, I would even beg to guess that it's even more than 60 seconds, because there are times after I've allowed an intrusion and taken a phone call that I knew was not a really important phone call, but it was like, oh, I haven't talked to them. You know, that has taken my mindset into a totally different direction after I've hung up the phone. I'm still thinking about the conversation. I'm thinking, and I forget my task and it doesn't get done.
Right.
So
last time.
Yeah. And that's huge. You know, before you know it, the day is gone and then you don't get your task done.
Yeah. And I will add on to that there was a cell phone company who did a study of how many times their customers unlocked their phone, and the average was 110 times each day. 110 times somebody stopped what they were doing to unlock their phone to check on that text, that notification, that email, whatever it was. And just using that 60-second average, which you already said is low, just using that 60-second average, that's 110 minutes of lost time each day when we allow our devices to interrupt us. And I'm not saying to stop checking everything, but you need to check when your brain is ready to receive it. Even if it's every 10 minutes, it's better to have focused time for that 10 minutes of work rather than allowing your brain to be interrupted constantly throughout the day.
That is so good. I mean, I cannot believe 110 times a day because of the notifications.
That was the average.
It's almost 2 hours. You know, that's a big chunk of time.
So,
and one of the things that people can do is they can go into their settings and they can turn off those notifications. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny you mentioned that because I was just thinking that this morning. It's like, I'm tired of getting these Facebook notifications, you know,
because
it causes me to unlock my phone. And I thought, gosh, Sylvia, just go in your settings and turn it off. You know, what a big difference that makes. And then that allows you the freedom to choose that as a distraction when you have time.
Yes. So not only go in and turn off those notifications and check when you're ready to receive it, but if you want to be really daring, move those tempting apps off the home screen of your device. So that way you actually have to swipe a few times before you can get into that app, and that will help cut you off from procrastination because it gives you more time to catch yourself in the act.
That is so good because the mind is so automatic. You know, we do so much habitually, unconsciously. I mean, we drive from one destination to our home and don't even remember the drive, you know, because we're such in this automatic gear. And so when you can remove those highly used distractions, like some of the social media links, then even, you know, email when you're out at the grocery store. I'm standing in the line sometimes and I'm like, oh, let me just read my email. And it's, why can't we just be present in the moment?
Exactly. We need to remove ourselves from autopilot, which basically turns us into bobbleheads. You know, we just bob around and jump on, you know, whatever lands in front of us and be focused.
And be focused. Thank you so much, Helene, for coming on the show. You've been an absolute delight, as always. And I want to remind everyone to please go to her website. Is that the Inefficiency Assassin, or is it just inefficiencyassassin.com?
Theinefficiencyassassin.com.
Great. And get your complimentary productivity kit. And I will be back again next week. Helene, thank you so much. Everyone have a wonderful time for the rest of your day and enjoy your week. Take care. Bye-bye for now.